6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Florida taking care of the home base that was damaged due to the hurricane.
Yeah.
What's up, Jay?
Not much. Yeah, I mean, talking to Ed, getting messages from neighbors, and you get to see the outside and see how bad it is until someone walks in the front door, and you're like,
oh,
damn, there's more going on here. So, and from his text back to us, it's like, you can't even get in down there unless you live down there now. It's, I mean, there's just so many things that are busted up, and we don't, you don't realize it because it's out of sight, out of mind sometimes.
Yeah.
But, damn, that's rough down there, man. People without power, you don't know how long you're going to be without power.
I need them to straighten that out before I move down there in a couple of years.
I don't know. They're getting rid of that hurricane.
Get that
business.
Together. Get that together.
Damn Democrats keep creating hurricanes. How do they do? Why don't they attack another country with these hurricanes? Damn liberals.
Don't start it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it this morning. I just told you. I'm tired of everybody telling me to vote. I am. Just leave me alone about it. I am. I never not did it.
I don't
Why are you telling me I'm going to? Leave me alone about it.
It is weird. Everybody's saying that, like, Joe Biden's trying to figure out who crapped his pants, but yet he's got a weather machine. I mean, come on, man. Unbelievable, man.
I'm so sick of it, man. Leave me alone.
At least we got sports.
I'm going. When that Tuesday comes, I'll be there. Leave me alone about it. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. I tried to watch some baseball yesterday.
Is Tracy coming in the studio today, Joe?
Why?
I was just wondering why Jeremy was brown-nosing over there with his 105.7 The Fan shirt on.
Man, you should know.
I thought you was brown-nosing,
no,
man.
If it isn't a Life Med shirt and it's not a 105.7 The Fan hoodie.
This is not a freebie.
Did I pay for this? No, I think I got this for free.
We got the first round. We got free.
Yeah,
any additional. So I don't have any additionals.
So there will be no second round for me. I hate paying for company gear. You want me to wear something? Give it to me. Come on. You know. So like.
You know. Oriel said, you know, we want to go away from the suit look.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have the polos and the relaxed look. As long as you relax me some gear.
Yeah, you got to go to the team store and buy some new outfits.
No.
Make sure you buy two of them.
No.
One for you and one for Robbie.
No, that's not how it went down.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, like even pointing that out, I think I wear, God, I have like my four favorite hoodies that I just like to rotate, the most comfortable ones. And once you've worn them in enough, then they're really comfortable.
I had a good time yesterday at Eagles Nest for this charity golf event I went to.
Yeah, so I was
with the sales, some of the sales guys.
Really?
So I Max.
Was... Hold on, this is ridiculous.
Max.
You remember Max? Is he the black guy?
No, Max is not the black. Max is the good golfer.
Who's our black sales guy? You did you?
It was four of us.
You guys talk all
me
the time.
Me and Max. Trying to think. Who else was with me, Joe?
Max and you?
Name some names. Throw some names out there. Somebody, come on, help me out.
No, you want us to start looking at
people? I had a great time. I had a great time with these guys, man. Conversations. They're good guys. Two of them went to South Carolina. Max is one of them.
And the other guy?
Max was on the practice squad for the South Carolina's women's basketball team. He gets a ring.
He was on the practice squad for the girls' team?
They practice against them. You never heard of that before?
No.
Oh, man, when I coached in college, I practiced against the boys.
Oh, okay. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, I had boys. I had a team of boys that came in once a week, and we practiced against them.
That's the hardest thing. A lot of boys don't want to scrimmage against the girls. You know, they don't want to go in, like, oh, I don't want to do this. I remember when I took my kids, God, what were they? They were in seventh grade, and we took on an eighth grade, like ninth grade team.
Right.
You know, that age group. So they were just a year or 2 years ahead of them. But they were so much more mature than the kids I had.
Right.
They were taller than them. So they were just throwing over our prep. They kicked our kids' asses.
Well, think about this, though, for a second. These guys are in college. They ain't going to play college basketball. They get to work out. You know, they get gym time because of us.
No, I never knew what went on. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. We practiced against men.
Mm.
And it helped. Maybe. Now, at this age, you're right. High school, I probably wouldn't be able to pull that together because they don't want to get
because the guys you're going to get probably aren't the type of talent you want to play against
right.
them. Yeah. But even then, like,
well, I could. But there would be some, but they don't want to get. I mean, high school is different. You're a good basketball player. You didn't make your basketball team, or for some reason, you don't want to play. If I get six guys and those girls handled them at any moment, at any time, it's different. The conversation in high school would be different than in college when you going up against girls who were all Americans coming out of high school.
I'll give you the adage. It's like fighting a guy in a wheelchair. Like
you can't win.
No, you can't win. You don't want it. You just punched a guy in a wheelchair. What, did a guy in a wheelchair just beat your ass?
Exactly.
You can't win. That's it. You know, you're supposed to go in and dominate, and if you don't, you're going to be the talk of the town.
Or like if you're a big dude, about 260 pounds, and you're walking down the street, and you see two guys who may be 260 combined, and you just start swinging at them.
And then flex.
You can't win.
No.
Well, that guy needs to get his ass. I want to fight with him for charity. Find him. Talk to John Rollo. Get that thing sanctioned. We go in that cage, and we fight for charity.
I don't want to fight. I'll be a ring card girl.
That was despicable. We'll talk about that later.
We are. We're going to get into it. But, like, this is why people don't want to go out and enjoy themselves.
That's why I don't go to games. I told you. That's why I don't go to football games, man. That's why.
Dumb stuff. And again, nobody knows what went on before, but this seems like
he
sought them out and did it. And if you haven't seen the video, it's gone viral. We're going to talk about it later. The kid's been fired from his job.
Should have been.
You can read all kinds of rumors on there.
Should have been. And if anybody's his friend that's listening to us and thinks I'm talking reckless about him, let him know. 410-583-1057. Let him know.
It's disgusting,
man. Let him call in.
I had a buddy that got punched and his head hit the curb and he almost died. You almost went to jail for a long portion of your life or the rest of your life. If he would have died, you'd have been in jail. You know, like there's no...
Should have been in jail anyway.
Well, anyway, I mean, this is a while back.
Not for as long, of course, but should have been in jail anyway.
Yeah, somebody started chirping and then he was the one that got it. The one that wasn't saying anything. That's just sitting back that was in the group.
That's all it is. The
punch. Yeah.
That's how, remember Ron Artest in the brawl, the Malice at the Palace?
Yeah.
He went past all the tough guys and went to the one kid who was jumping up and down, didn't understand what was going on, and now you got Ron Artest going at you. Wait a minute, you just passed by all those big dudes, and you go after the Poindexter, who's standing by himself, who's jumping up and down, who looks like he's got some issues, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That kind of jumping up and down, hand movement, looked like he had some issues. And you go after that dude. You just passed by four or five dudes that will whip your ass. But you charge. Same thing with this thing on this video. Oh, he went by all of these people, and you went at the two of the weakest looking people in the bunch.
I don't know who's softer, the dude that threw the punch or the guy that's holding the camera.
For real.
Yeah, look at this. World star. We got it. I mean, you're super cool, guys. You beat up two guys half your size. Awesome. You did a great job. Go home and tell everyone. What's that? You got fired?
Show the video.
Yeah.
You see what we did? Yeah, I'm not proud of you. I'm not. We're giving out shovels at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, look, we're going to play the If the Season Ended Today game. Joe put this together. I actually like this one. I hate doing the If the Season Ended games, but this is a good one. If the season ended today, would Lamar or Derrick Henry get your MVP vote? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
What a perfect fit for the Ravens. You know, he would be, that's the kind of back you wanted to have. He just seemed so different. He just seemed like one of a kind. And then, you know, playing against him, a lot of envious eyes. You know, watching him play for the Titans all those years. But I do, I just appreciate the way he's fit in here as a teammate, the way he's fit into the offense, the way the offense has fit him in all the way across the board. It's been great, and we want to keep building on it.
John Harbaugh reflected on draft night when Derrick Henry was drafted and just seeing him develop and just dominate the league with the Tennessee Titans. And now a member of the Baltimore Ravens, and he is getting it done. And, I mean, you look at these two, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Jeremy, the seasons that they're putting up, I think with the first quarterback running back duel to have over 900 yards rushing after five games.
Is it after five or after six now?
It was after five.
After five.
Yeah, so after five they did
it's
it.
It's even better now.
Yeah. And you look at Lamar Jackson, Jeremy, he's completing 67% of his passes, which right now would be a career high. His passer rating is 108.4 I'm going to say it one more again. For the season, 108.4 through six games.
Oh, that's cool. 8.4, that's what Deshaun Watson has.
Yeah, it is.
He's got 8.4.
I thought he had 11.
No, he had that in one game we were talking about. That was Dak Prescott, too.
10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And then on the rushing end, all he's done is 403 yards and 2 touchdowns, averaging 6 yards a carry.
Can I say this? I think there's one of two things that stops him this year. Injuries is an obvious one. That can always change everything, and knock on wood that doesn't happen. Or the same stuff we've seen in the postseason before, whether you want to blame player or coach, that's fine. Those are the only two things that I don't think there's another team that's better than them or that can stop their offense consistently enough to win.
Derrick Henry, on the other hand, he's leading the league in five categories. He's leading the league in carries, 119. He's on pace to eclipse his total for last year, 280. And also at this pace, he would have led the league in carries 5 out of 6 years. He leads the league in rushing yards at 704. He leads the league in rushing touchdowns at 8. I think touchdowns in general at 8. He has the longest run from scrimmage, 87 yards. And he leads the league in yards per game, 117.3. Oh, he also leads the league in yards from scrimmage at 753.
So when do you start spelling him? Because he's, 25 carries last game. If you're trying to make this work over a 2-year span, or is he just, guy's a machine, it doesn't matter. Just put him out there.
He had 24 carries. They're spelling him. He had 24 carries against Washington. He only had 15 carries against Cincinnati.
Okay.
So it's not, that's because he went 25, 24, and then 2 weeks later, 24. The other 3 weeks, he had 13, 18, 15.
But I think we started to see more of what we've seen this past week when we have games like this. I think
wear him down at the end.
Well, you like to you get that lead and you wear him down at the end. It's the same. Like for example, the whole Tampa 2 and the Colts defense. It's like get a lead, set your pass rushers free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with your running model and the fact that you're trying to close out games, you want to give it to the big boy at the end of the game. But what if he's the guy that helped you get there with 20-some carries? Are you okay giving him another 6-7 on that last drive?
Well, with 11 games left, Jeremy, we could say most of the games are going to finish like this, but I don't think so. Well, I think you're going to have a few more games finish this way. We're going to have some blowouts in either direction, probably in your favor. You're going to have, what's the kid who got hurt? He's coming back.
Keaton Mitchell. And they just activated Ali as well. So,
yeah.
The reason I bring this up is because if you guys followed Derrick Henry in Tennessee, it was build him up. He's running more. And then once it gets to December, it's like, screw you guys.
Yeah.
You're going to eat all this.
Yeah.
And they give him the ball. So, I'm just wondering if you're seeing that ramped up or with the options that you have. Because they don't hand the ball off to Justice Hill, ever.
No, they don't.
Ever.
No. So, if you have an MVP vote, a league MVP vote, if the season ended today, who gets it, Lamar or Henry? Because I don't think there's a third candidate, to be honest with you.
I'll give you a couple of reasons why it's Lamar. I mean, the first one is he plays quarterback.
That's right. Say it loud for the people in the back.
It's so unfair that everybody gets...
Ain't unfair.
Yeah, it is. It's BS.
It is what it is.
Is it a level playing field, or are you just going to give it to the guy that touches the ball on every offensive play?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the main reason. The other one is that I've seen Lamar do this without Derrick Henry. He won an MVP last year. He won an MVP in 2019. I've seen Derrick Henry have good seasons, but it doesn't matter without eight. It just doesn't.
I got nothing because my whole reason was, did Lamar have Derrick Henry in the backfield when he won the first two MVPs? And he's doing, I think, the evolution of Lamar. Don't get me wrong. I think they both make one another better. I do. But Lamar's been MVP before.
What?
And I think if you don't have a quarterback that can make the defense pay for loading the box, then Derrick Henry is not enjoying the season that he's having right now.
And
that's just my opinion.
And those two guys have had more success against loaded boxes than any other running back, any other runner of the football. Yeah, I know. And the other point of this, too, is like as much I love Derrick Henry. I love watching him. But what have we said for years? Get Lamar some weapons and see what happens.
Yeah.
Look at it now.
Yeah.
All you naysayers. Oh, I wonder if he can bring us back from a temple. Yeah, he did that. Wonder if he can. Naysayers.
Okay.
Am I allowed to say naysayers now?
I'm just checking.
I can't say naysayers.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on loaded boxes.
I didn't say ninjas. Jesus. Anyway, no, like, and again, just looking at the situation and how things are in this league, it's, I mean, he's just so freaking special that he can do it all. So all the people that didn't like him, why are you denying yourself this?
Because I got to be right. I got to be right.
Oh, God.
That's why I got to be right. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, what up? Hold on.
We'll wait for you. My bad, man.
My bad, man. My bad. I was making my tea and all that. But listen, man. Oh, not to make light of that video before I get to the Ravens, though, man. But somebody said that was like how the Lions beat the Cowboys on Sunday, man. You know,
somebody went wrong. But
yeah, by the way, talking about, you know how he was upset that they ran the score up on him, and I'm doing air quotes here, Rashawn. They did. They were absolutely disrespectful. They put an offensive lineman out wide to run a route.
Yeah, exactly. See, the Lions exposed themselves, though, man. They used all their best plays.
They did expose themselves. Yeah. Yeah. While the Cowboys were watching.
Yeah.
But listen, now in the league, know all they plays, though, man. They opened up the playbook just for the Cowboys.
They
ran
out of plays?
Nah, man. But anyway, man, on to this MVP stuff, man. For me, it had to be Lamar. Because think about this. As good as Derrick Henry is, if Tyler Huntley was our quarterback, the Ravens would be, 2-4 right now with Derrick Henry and Tyler Huntley. You know, so like you said, Rob, earlier, a couple minutes ago, about, you know, having a quarterback to make him stack the box like that, you know. So, hey, it's definitely Lamar to me, you know, hands down. So, I mean,
I'm surprised you didn't say Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he didn't love
him. Oh, man, here we go with that.
Hey, Rashawn, I told Rob about your video where you were, what was it, one of the Man on the Street videos where they're recording you and you had to name more Cowboys than him?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Good job.
Oh, yeah, that was good, man. Yeah, you know, I know
you guys
my
question.
I'm a real fan.
Yeah,
man.
He's a real fan. He's been watching a losing team since the 90s.
Since I was 12 years old, man. Yeah.
He got all them championships out of the way in elementary school.
Yo, wrong, man.
All right, man. Have a good one.
It's so funny. Like, you all of a sudden you're watching a Man on the Street video. It's like, is that Rashawn? What the hell's he doing there?
We give out shovels at 7:00. But on the other side, Lamar hesitated to call this Ravens offense the most balanced offense he's been part of, referring to 2019. I don't know. The first thing I got to ask Lamar is, define balance. Baltimore Ravens up next. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Somewhat. In a way, you can say, yeah. Because 2019, we was pretty balanced until guys, like, you know, went down at the end of the season. But, yeah, you can say that.
I disagree, man. That's Lamar Jackson talking about the balanced offense of the Baltimore Ravens, and he's compared it to the 2019 season. Jeremy, I just have a hard time comparing this year so far to what we saw in 2019.
Yeah, look, I would say this. I mean, you could sit here and try to say it's more balanced back then, but it's
back then or now?
Back then. I mean, you could try to say that, but I think now is, I mean, it's so much better now. It's not even close.
Yeah.
And like, even going back to, it's so much better than what it was last year. Last year was better than 2019, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, he started off 2019 with good yards, you know,
passing. He had that Miami game week one, right?
But he had 161, 143, 163, 105. You know, he had 105 yards passing in the game.
Were those all in wins, or was it?
Those are wins.
Yeah.
Those are wins. But let me give you the raw numbers, all right? In 2019, in total yards per game, they finished second with 407. And the passing yards per game, they finished 27th with 201. Rushing yards per game, first with 206. And total points per game, they finished first with 33.
So we're talking about the word balanced. You finish first in rushing and 27th in passing. It's not balanced, Jeremy. So far this year, they're first in yards per game at 450 to 4, which is almost 50 yards more than they had that year. They finished, they're right down there, 8th in passing yards per game. So the top 10, 8th at 248. They're first in rushing at 205, and they're 4th in points a game at 29.5. To me, that's more of a balanced attack. You're first in rushing, which the Ravens are always going to be top 3 in rushing. It's just how it is with Lamar. But you're top 10 in passing. And if you look at the yards between you and the other teams ahead of you, not much difference.
I'd be willing to bet you if you go look at the top 5 teams in rushing, they're all successful teams.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, you would think. And I think also that it isn't – having a balanced offense is one thing. There are more people now that said, hey, you should be passing more. But if you're successful, I think you should be running more. And granted, the Saints aren't the right team to bring up now because they've looked like just a cesspool. But even all those Drew Brees years, and you go back and look at what the Ravens were doing, and even what Tom Brady and Andy Reid are doing, everything is, even with the great quarterbacks, everything is predicated off the run game. So you're setting up the run game to set up your play action pass to go over the top and make your guys look better. You can do it in reverse. You can set up the pass to open up the run, but many teams don't do that.
You think Jordan Love's a good quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay, his team is second in the league in rushing per game. You think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback?
Yeah.
His team is third in rushing yards per game. You think Jared Goff is a good quarterback?
Yeah.
His team is fourth.
See, I mean, they're all the top
teams. And the Commanders are having a winning season. They're 4-2. They're fifth, followed by the Eagles. So, you know, and what's the common denominator? Well, with the exception of the Lions, the rest of them have quarterbacks who will run.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a... you know, even more of a threat because not only do you have running backs that pick up positive yards, but, you know, especially with the Ravens and the Commanders and the Eagles, you got three of those top six teams.
You put the Packers in there, too.
Jordan Love. You got guys I think Brock Purdy, he doesn't take off as much as he used to. Well,
Brock Purdy.
But he'll take off.
I talked about this the other day on the morning. Like, his 10-yard splits were better than Christian McCaffrey,
yeah.
Better than Deebo. He has the best 10-yard split or 10-yard number on from the combine, more so than these other. Like, so you look at him and you don't think athletic, but he's unbelievably athletic.
Here's the difference also. Look at this. In 2019, 58% of the time they've ran the ball. Well, 57.5% they ran the ball. 42.5% of the time they threw the ball. This year, 53.3% of the time they run the ball, 46.7% of the time. So 53-47, basically. They're moving further, closer and closer. And that's with a couple of games in the middle where Lamar barely threw the ball at all.
But I'll also say this, and I think some people have started to notice it over the past 2 years, this year more importantly, more screens, which are basically an extension of the run game because they're safe plays right off the line that you're allowing guys to hopefully get out in space, get your blockers out in front of them, make something happen. This wasn't a team that ran a lot of screens, whether it's wide receiver, tight end, or running back.
And I think you're seeing that Todd Monken effect on the offense.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Baltimore and get Larry. What's up, Larry?
Well, how y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Oh, you're talking about the Ravens offense. You can go back. That's the best offense they ever had in whole history.
I can't argue that.
Because now, with the Ravens, it's not even close to put the conversation time out between Henry and Lamar. It's not even close. It's Lamar. Everything started with him. It took the Ravens long enough to get this man some help. I was wondering how y'all was stupid. What y'all waiting on?
Now, let me ask you this, Larry. Why do you think this is the best offense they ever had?
Because they got 5 or 6 players that can beat you. Andrews can beat you. Flowers can beat you.
Likely.
Aguilar, Bateman, and then
Likely.
Likely, you take Hill out the backfield. See, other teams got to realize what the Ravens have, you can't stop it. You got to play their ball. Keep the ball from them.
Hey, man. Well, evidently they ain't stupid because they went out and got them. Larry, thanks a lot for the call this morning. He said they ain't even close.
Well,
what y'all waiting for, you stupid?
Look, this offense, I'd still have to, like, you still got to look at some of those offenses that when Brady threw 50, when Manning threw 49. Yeah. I mean, that's those numbers are ridiculous. And again, I don't think someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think either one of them were stat padding either. Like, it was just
who? What two?
The Brady and Manning when they had the 49 and 50 touchdown seasons. I don't
I think Manning's offense was geared towards him throwing touchdown passes inside the 5 yard line. They didn't really have that power game too much.
No Sean Marino running for him, I think.
Right. So I don't think they're stat padding.
Well, because like there were times where we've had these guys and they could have broken records against other teams when it made more sense to run the ball, and then they would go out and run it. That's why I'm saying I don't think it was stat padding. You can look at. Because I thought Aaron Rodgers the 1 year threw more 1 yard touchdowns than anybody I've ever seen. I'd have to go back and look at Manning's year to see how many he threw within inside the five. But
he threw a lot inside the five. A lot of it was to Dallas Clark.
And what Julius Thomas was there.
Yeah, Julius Thomas
when he was in Denver. So I think Denver was his biggest season, the year that he threw seven against the Ravens. Remember we got Keith Urban on a float? You remember that? We got Keith Urban on a float in Inner Harbor. All the other teams get to host a home game to start the season. Remember when the Ravens went to Kansas City this year? That's because Kansas City won the Super Bowl. Remember the year the Ravens went to Denver and we got Keith Urban on the float? We didn't even get Nicole Kidman to come along with it. It was just Keith Urban. Come on, man.
Oh, my God.
On a float.
You won't let that go.
We got Keith Urban. Man, you ever think about the consolation prize? It's like when Clark gets the Jelly of the Month Club in Christmas Vacation. That's the gift that keeps on giving. You're never going to forget Keith Urban on a float.
No, you won't forget Keith Urban. Let's go to Lydia Perry Hall. What's up, Liddy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Good. Hey, we got a baby Mack truck in Derrick Henry. The more you work him, the better he gets.
Absolute
beast.
We're
going to save Lamar in the long run. Going to take us to a Super Bowl this year, guys.
Hey, I don't disagree with you on that, man. You know who Derrick Henry is like? He's like having a faster version of John Riggins. For those of you who remember John Riggins. Because John Riggins would run you over, and the only time I really saw him run by somebody was the Super Bowl against the Miami Dolphins.
I don't know if
but he wasn't really a run-past-you kind of guy. Derrick Henry will beat you up and then outrun you. Well, man, how do you expect me to keep up with you? You just battered me.
Yeah.
I can't run.
Well,
that's Derrick Henry.
I don't know if this is going to make Rob happy or sad, Joe, because somebody else brought this up in the hallway yesterday.
Ooh.
Chuckles was talking about Riggins' year in 83 and saying that the Ravens and Derrick Henry look like John Riggins in the year after the strike year, right? Or the shortened season.
The year they lost the Super Bowl to the Raiders.
Yeah, the year they decided to give a kicker the MVP. What are we doing? There was nobody else? How good were those field goals? You kidding me?
Let's go to Northeast and get Vinny. What's up, Vinny?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Vinny?
Not much, man.
Hey, man, we done had Ingram in the backfield. We done had J.K. We done had Gus in the backfield. But Derrick Henry is him. There's a difference with that guy in the backfield. Even though I felt like, you know what I'm saying, the running game is going to be the running game. But it's just a different guy back there when you see Derrick Henry. And for the first time in a long time, it's just looking at the Ravens offense, it's like, wow, we can't be stopped. Like, they're just going up and down the field. Like, you keep thinking something's going to happen, but it's like a machine right now. Great thing to see, man.
Hey, Vinny, thanks a lot, my man. 410-583-1057 is the number.
You remember when people were lying all those years and they said, I like this brand of football. You like this brand of football.
Exactly.
Come on, man. It's like you go,
ass.
I like going to the buffet when there's only two options. Not, man, come on.
You know, like when people ask, why can't the Ravens be on more Monday Night Football games? Because nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see 10-7.
You guys are lying.
I'm sorry.
Yourself.
Nobody, no one wants to see that.
Ain't nobody want to tell you. I'll tell you. Your baby's ugly.
Shovels at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, go talk MLB playoffs. Yes, they're still playing, Orioles fans. Mm. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Man, the Mets say, you know what? We're sick of that whole scoreless streak. So Frankie Lindor said, solo home run. That streak is over with. And the Mets go on to win 7-3, tying that series up at 1.
Mets are dangerous, man.
They're very dangerous.
They're so scrappy. They're never out of a game. That game felt weird, too, because if you missed it at one point, they got the bases loaded with no outs. Mm-hmm. And Will Smith came up. He struck out. Then they got a base hit to knock in a cut. You're like, okay, could they have an inning to make this interesting? They got it to what? At that point, 5-3, 6-3. I think it was 6-3. And then, of course, we see how it ended. They just scratch out one later. But this Mets team, they've been playing playoff baseball since
we were in New York.
Yeah.
Since the Orioles were in New York during the summer. They were playing playoff baseball then. They were trying to get relevant. And they did. They've been on a heater.
It's so unbelievable to sit here and think about Detroit's run, the Mets run. And the Mets run's still alive. I honestly think, and I'm not just saying this after the fact, I want to pick Cleveland so bad, but New York has their rotation set up. You just got to try to get your runs early and outlast this Cleveland bullpen, which, told you, they've used them so much. In this last series, they've used their main bullpen pieces in every single game.
It don't matter.
I'm just saying, like, over time, it wears you out.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, with the Yankees now. Well, I'm just saying, with the Yankees now, I think it's the wrong team to face when you don't have, you know, you're a fresh bullpen, and you could say they're as fresh as they can be. I get that. And also setting up your rotation the way you want. Hey, nobody wanted Alex Cobb pitching an inning or two innings last night to start the game. But that's what they have right now because of the injuries.
I almost feel like, though, with all that you said, but I felt this way before, I almost feel like out of the four teams, the Guardians are kind of like the sacrificial lambs. I mean, I feel like it's the coronation for the New York Yankees to get to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's anybody out of who was left between the Royals, the Tigers, or the Guardians. I think there's one team in the American League that would have stopped the Yankees in the postseason. That's the Orioles.
I think the Orioles or Astros could have. That's the other one. But like the Astros ran into that buzzsaw that was the Tigers.
I didn't think the Astros matched up well this year against them. This is my opinion.
How about the Astros make that big trade for Kikuchi and we don't even get to see him?
Kikuchi.
Yeah.
You didn't say, you say.
Kikuchi. But no, we didn't get to see him. I mean, you talk about like
he never pitched.
I know. I'm saying like in a 5-game series, you see him. In a 7-game series, you see him. I can't tell them to start him over Framber Valdez, who was probably the best pitcher the last 6 weeks of the season in baseball. He gets rocked in his outing. And then you come back with Hunter Brown, who's been your, I mean, he's a, I don't want to say he's Justin Verlander, but he looks just like him when he pitches. He's modeled himself after him. So it's hard to argue that. But again, they're sitting at home just like the rest of us. And I think Major League Baseball is going to get whatever they want, whether it's a Subway Series or you get the Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series.
You know what I am happy about? I'm happy that the narrative of teams that take breaks don't do well, because the Dodgers and the Yankees took breaks.
Yeah.
Because it happened to us, it's bad for baseball. No, it's not.
Well, this goes back.
Where in time that's getting arrests, where is that bad for baseball? It may not be for a particular team at that time. The Mets were on a run. But if you're the Dodgers and the Yankees and you did your running all year long, you deserve that break.
Yeah, look, if you ended up winning your division and running away with it 3 years in a row, and each year you wait patiently for the playoffs and everything, you've got your bye, and then you come out and lay an egg, then I'm listening to you to try some different things
right,
because things have gone awry. But this goes back to what I've said. It's everything's results-driven. No matter what happened, it was going to be because of the long layoff or not because of the long layoff. You know, it applies.
The narrative was written.
Yeah, I mean, people just see that. It's like the perfect example is calling a timeout on a kicker and trying to ice him. Does anybody know the percentages of how much they hit after you ice him? They hit a lot of them, most of them.
But the moment you miss,
yeah,
see?
People still do it. Well, we had the one game this weekend where they called a timeout and gave a kicker another shot right before the half. Was that Texas? It was a college game. And they called a dumbass timeout, and then here you go. He gets another chance at it. Boom, he kicks it.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
You would see that a lot. The NFL actually changed its rules on what you could call a timeout, so it can't happen in the NFL anymore.
But college
didn't change the rules.
I don't, like, look, if in key situation, big, I don't think there's anything wrong with making the guy sit and think about it. If it's cold out there, I don't think there's anything wrong calling a timeout, making him stand around, get uncomfortable a little bit.
What if your kicker is rushing onto the field to kick a field goal in the playoffs?
Call the timeout so he has time to get ready. Don't rush it.
But wait a minute. But
No, it doesn't matter. You can ice your own kicker. It just happened this past weekend.
But he was running out on the field and they didn't want to call a timeout, and he cundiffed it.
It was a 32-yard field goal.
Oh, it was cundiff.
Yeah. It was a 32-yard field goal, and he wouldn't have cundiffed it if you had just called an effing timeout and didn't rush the kick. I can't ice my own kicker. He's going to be thinking about, why'd my coach do that? I can't believe I'm sitting here right now trying to kick this big kick, and he called a timeout on me. Why would he ice? Oh, I missed a 32. No, he was going to make it. He was going to make it, and everything was going to be different. Everything was going to be different. No more getting cundiffed out in the middle of nowhere. You don't get to use his name.
They like use his Roy name.
Munson.
They use his name.
Jesus. Come on.
Speaking of college football, we're going to college football weekend wrap up at 7:15. But on the other side, we give it our shovels, Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, my shovel's going to a goober that decided to throw two punches or a couple of punches at a few Commanders fans. Got his ass fired. We're going to talk about it.
Now, who's laughing now? What happens when you play stupid games?
You win stupid prizes.
Shovels up next on The Fan.